Let me turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Glad I have a Savior. Every day my life is met with new obstacles, new problems, and the reason I can overcome it is because I got a Savior. I don't know how people make it that don't have them. Don't know the Lord, I don't know how they make it through life. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. Let's start reading verse 1. I got a little lengthy to read tonight, so bear with me. Bible says, "It came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abithar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abithar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. And David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water, 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We had an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongs to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons or daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all." Let me stop right there and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. Father, I thank you for the privilege we have together in your house tonight. And God, I ask that you just help us tonight, Lord. Father, we know that without you, we can do nothing. I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you please take the truths of your word, Lord. Take this message, Lord, and touch the hearts of your people. And God, I just ask that you'd accomplish the work that you'd have here tonight, Lord. Give me clarity of thought. Father, help me to share this message, Lord, that you burden my heart with tonight, Lord. And God, just be honored and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here's where we're at. Ziklag, while David and his men have been gone, has come under attack. And we know Ziklag was the city. It was a town of Kish that the king of the Philistines gave it for David and his men to stay there when he'd fled from Saul. And so David and his men, they return home from going to battle, and they find everything burnt with fire. It's burned. Their families are gone. And let me say this. It was when David was gone that his family was attacked, that the city was attacked. And let me say this before I move on. The city not being protected gave an opportunity for the enemy. And when we fail to protect our homes, our children, and our lives, let me tell you what's going to happen. The enemy's going to come. We need to consciously be aware. Let me say this. If you're purposed in your heart that you're going to serve God, you got a target on your back. And God wants to destroy you and everything about you, and you better be wise. But anyway, David and them, they've returned back, and everything's destroyed. Now let's imagine for a minute
what these men must feel like. Number one, they're exhausted. They've been traveling for 3 days. For 3 days, they've been traveling to come home to their families. Can you imagine how weary you'd be in your flesh if you walked for three? If I told you we're going on a 3-mile hike or a 3-day hike, nobody's going to be excited. I was reading, they said an average man, typically that back then, he would walk 20 to 30 miles a day. Some of y'all looked shocked. I was. I couldn't imagine walk. Can you imagine, Brother Brian, can you imagine us leaving early Monday morning? We're going to walk to the prison and preach Tuesday night. Here's what I'm trying to see. These men have come home. They're wore out. They are absolutely exhausted. They went to battle. They've been sent home from the battle. They're coming back. And when they get home, they find everything's destroyed. So they're physically, they're exhausted. Emotionally. You can only imagine what they're going through. You imagine coming home and all your possessions being gone. How would you feel if you left church tonight, drove home, you pull in your driveway, and it's just nothing but smoke and ashes? Everything you possessed, everything you had was just gone. That's where they're at, except it gets worse. Their family's gone. Their wives, their children. Imagine what's going through their mind. I mean, where are they at? Are they alive? Are they being abused and mistreated? I mean, are they dead? I mean, all these questions going through their mind. And verse 4 tells us this. It says, David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They're crying. They are so broken. And you've got to remember too, these are battle-tested men. These aren't men that just break down just because every little thing gets wrong. These are men that know how to get in a fight. They're broken. They're completely broken. And then we see anger and rebellious thoughts running through their mind. Their sorrow affected their thinking. They know that David is anointed to be king. They know that. They know he's God's man. They have given their lives to David. They've dedicated themselves. So you go back, these are the same men that came to David at the Cave of Adullam and said, we're going to be with you. But what are they wanting to do now? Verse 6 tells us they're talking about stoning him. They got to blame somebody. You not hear them now? Man, if David hadn't took us off, I'd have been here to fight for my family. Had David not led us out there, and my family would be here safe right now. You know as well as I do, when there's a problem, it's always somebody else's fault. And let me say this while I'm right here. If there's a problem, focus on the problem and not who's responsible for it. Blaming one another. If there's a problem in this church, us sitting around blaming one another for somebody should have done this or he done that, that ain't going to fix the problem. Yeah. Focus on the problem. These men, they're not thinking right. Because of sorrow, because of their emotions, they're exhausted, they're not thinking right. Let's stone David. This is all his fault. They're angry and they won't take their frustrations out on him. And David is their leader. Really, he's not doing much better. He's just as tired physically. He made the journey with them. His wives are gone. His possessions are gone. And everybody else, they're upset, they're broken and weeping. Nobody else is worried about being stoned. David was distressed. He was. There was anxiety that they're coming after him. Everybody's turned on him, and he feels guilty. Let me tell you this about leadership. True leadership that cares, you don't have to blame them if there's a problem. They take responsibility for it. David, they don't have to blame him. David feels responsible for it. Here's what I'm trying to get you to see from all this. Here's a group of men that are just emotionally and physically, they're just a mess. That's where they're at. And David, through David here, we see what to do when your life is a mess. Look at verse number 6. And David was greatly distressed. The people take a stoning him because the soul of the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and daughters. But David encouraged himself and the Lord his God. David's encouraging himself. Now, how do you do that? You meditate and you think upon the promises of God and His goodness. That's the only way. You get that. You need encouragement. Start thinking about the goodness of God. Think about His promises. I get down and weary many times, but you know what I'm always reminding myself of? You know the verse that God's for me. When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. That helps me. Knowing that regardless of what's going on, that God's for me, them that honor me, I will honor. Man, I've been so many times people have told me I'm making a mistake with the choices I made in life. And if I listen to them, it gets me down and discouraged. But here's what I know. If I honor God, God said He'll honor me. That's all that matters. Here's what I'm saying. When I get down, I can encourage myself in the promise of God. You can encourage yourself in God's goodness. Here's David. He has lost everything at this point. But you know what? He's still got a lot to be thankful for. I mean, you look back over his life, God's still been good to him. So David is encouraging himself in the Lord, and then he goes to God in prayer. Notice it says in verse 8, and David inquired at the Lord. He's going to go to God. Encouraging himself in the Lord has caused David to want to do something about his situation. He's in a bad situation, but instead of just sitting there weeping and crying over it, you know what? I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to try to do something about it. And he asked God two questions. Can I go after them? Can I overtake them? Can I catch them? That's what he's asking God. And notice what God tells David. Verse 8. Latter part of the verse. And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Here's what David gets. David gets a promise from God right here. You go after them, and you can get your stuff back, if I could just say it that way. You go after them, and here's what I promise you, David, that without fail, you can recover all. Everything you've lost, you can get every bit of it back, but you're going to have to do something, David. You're going to have to go get it. You're going to have to pursue. And here's my question I want to look at for a few minutes. What's the enemy robbed from you? I mean, just for a moment, evaluate your life for a minute. What have you lost in the past year, 2 years? A lot of God's people have let their guard down and the enemy's robbed them of their convictions. Start letting things slide that used to we'd never do. Used to things that we would hear, listen to, we'd turn it off. But not now. You know why? We've lost something. We've lost those convictions. Dress standards have slipped. Our thirst for trying to live holy, godly lives, it's just not there anymore. What happened to it? The enemy came and took it. And we know there is a world, the flesh, and the devil. We've allowed the enemy to rob us. To take something that was ours away from us. Loss of joy. Do you know for a lot of people, serving God is not joyous anymore. It's just a burden. It's just a chore. It's just something that I've got to do, get it out of the way so I can move on to the next thing. Going to church isn't enjoyable anymore for them. It's a chore. How about loss of fellowship? You look back and you remember a time that used to you enjoyed sitting down, reading your Bible, God speaking to you. You enjoyed getting alone with God in prayer. And now we never pick our Bibles up. And it's absolute torture, it almost seems like, to think that we're going to pray for 20, 30 minutes. What happened? How about loss of hope? Thinking that, you know what, there's just no use trying to serve God. It's just a waste of time. Can't be done. Remember a time when we used to long for the Lord's return and now we're just too busy trying to amass the world's riches? What happened? Here's all I'm asking you. Can you think back to a time, and somebody said it here not long ago, that you're a lot more spiritual than you are now? See, here's what's happened. We've let our guard down, and the enemy's robbed us of our spirituality. We're not interested in things of God like we used to be. And just like David and his men were exhausted physically, we're exhausted emotionally. Physically, you know what we're doing? We're trying to accomplish the work of the Lord, the energy of the flesh. And we're just wearing ourselves out. Emotionally, there's no joy. Everything we do for the Lord, it's just a burden. Why is the pastor doing this? Let's just get it over with and get it out of the way. There's something wrong. Here's my question. How do we recover what's been lost? Every one of us, if we'd be honest, there's some things that we've lost over the years because of the enemy. How do we get it back? That's my question. How do we recover all? David was attacked by the enemy. He lost everything, and he got every bit of it back. God told him, if you'll go after it, without fail, you'll recover all. Here's what I want to look at for a few minutes tonight. How are we going to recover or regain what's been lost? And here's the first thing I want you to take notice of. It's going to take some determination. They come to the brook Besor, and here's what they immediately run into. There's an obstacle. God told them, you pursue, without fail you'll recover all. As soon as they start on this journey, what happens? There's an obstacle in their way. And what happens? 200 men say, we're not going. Here's an obstacle. Some of them aren't getting past it. Really, this river for 200 men, it was an impassable wall. They tell them, we can't make it. We're just too weak. Those 200 men that can't get over this river, you know, their wives and their children are going to stay captive to the Amalekites. And we know the story how David go and everybody gets their stuff back, but here's what I'm trying to get you to see. They had a reason to go on. They lost just as much as anybody else did, but when that obstacle, that river's in front of them, here's what they say, we can't do it. Don't even try. Do you know they got the same promise of God to encourage themselves in? They got the same promise that God said, if you'll pursue, you'll without fail recover all. But because of this obstacle, they're not going. And here's what I'm wanting you to see from this. When you purpose in your heart, when you determine that, you know what, I'm going to fight to get back what I've lost. A lot of people aren't going with you. They've lost the same thing you have. They have the same motive, the same reason to be going back. They're not going to go. And if you're not careful, here's what you'll do. Because other people don't want to fight to try to regain what was lost, you won't either. And you know what? It's an obstacle. When you try to start regaining convictions that you've allowed to slip, it's going to be an obstacle. When you start trying to regain fellowship with the Lord that you don't have anymore, it's going to be an obstacle. And a lot of people, as soon as they get, they're all gung-ho, I'm going to do it, I want to be right with God, I want to regain everything I've lost, and the first time it's hard on the flesh, I just can't do it. Not everybody's going to get it back. But these men are. Why? Because there was some determination on their part. That obstacle to them was nothing more than just another obstacle to get through. They fought their way through it. Every time we're met with an obstacle, we're faced with a choice. Is it worth going on? What I'm wanting on the other side, is it worth fighting my way through this? There may have been other rivers. We don't know. We just know at this particular one, some men said we can't go any further. You can't let the obstacles discourage you from going back. And it's going to take determination on your part. If you're not determined to get back what you've lost, it's not going to happen. You know why these men were so determined? I mean, really, it's obvious. Just think about why are they so determined that they'll do whatever it takes to get across this river to get over to the Amalekites? Because they love what's over on the other side. It's love. That's all it was. What they had lost, they loved, and they wanted to get it back. You know why we're not determined to get back what we've lost? It's a heart issue. We don't miss it. If we truly love that fellow God the way we're supposed to, we'd be fighting to get back across it. We would desire that fellowship. We would want those convictions. We would want to be right before God. That determination is rooted in a love issue. And when you're not determined and you have no desire to go back and re-get what you've lost over the years, you got a heart problem. And when you got a heart problem, nobody can fix it but you. Keep thy heart with all diligence. It's your responsibility to keep your heart. There is nothing... If one of my kids lose their heart to the world, there is nothing I can pray. There is nothing I can do to change it. It's in His hands. And it's a serious thing. It ought to be a sobering thing when we realize that the world has our heart. It ought to scare us to death what it should do. Because you're talking about a mess you're going to get in. These men were determined to go back. And here's why. Because they loved. They loved their families. If we're ever going to get determined to get back what we've lost, it's going to start with our hearts. Church, we've got to determine, we've got a purpose in our heart that we want that fellowship back if you've lost it. Hey, I want my convictions back. Hey, I've let the enemy come in. He's robbed me of some standards I used to have. I want them back. They were determined. You're going to have obstacles. You got determined to get across them. But then not only that, they had some direction. They cross this river. They get over this obstacle. Now what? Who has their families? Where are they at? What direction do we go? What do we need to do? All these questions. Won't you notice what happened? They ran across an Egyptian in the field. This man's going to tell them everything they need to know. Here's what I want you to see. Once you determine in your heart, I'm getting back what I've lost, God will give you some direction. God will give you the direction, the instructions you need to get them. They got a promise to God, if you'll pursue without fail, you will recover all. They're determined, we're going to get them back. And when they cross, start fighting their way through that obstacle, God gives them some direction. Determination led to direction. You determine your heart, you want to recover what you've lost, God will send you a message. God will send you what you need to get it. And here's the thing about God giving you truth. God giving you instructions. Let me word it that way. There's no point telling these men, those 200 men that said, you know what, we're not crossing over. We can't. We're too weak. We just can't do it. Is there any point telling them where the Amalekites are at? They're not going. There's no point. When you stall out in your spiritual walk, and you're not determined that you want to get it back, there's really no need for God giving you anything. You ain't going to do nothing with it. These men, when they determine, hey, we're going to make it across, we're going to regain what we've lost, God gave them some directions. He gave them some instructions. Let me say this before I move on. Their instructions, their direction came from taking time to help somebody in need. This man's sick. He'd been left for dead in the field. The man that God is going to use to help them in the eyes of the world, he's just worthless. He wasn't nothing. Here's my point. What if David was so focused on recovering his family, he didn't have time to help this man? I mean, that's really their goal. Hey, we want to recover what we've lost. I don't have time to fool with this man. He never got the direction he needed. When we're trying to get back what we've lost, it doesn't give us an excuse not to help those in need. There's still a work of God to be done. You may have lost some things. You may be determined, I'm going to fight. I'm going to try to get across these obstacles, and I'm going to regain what I've lost. That's no excuse to start turning your back on the work of God. There's still a work to be done. Do you know, it may be just like David, it's through helping others that you get the direction you need for your life. Here's a group of men that's, they have a promise from God, if you'll pursue, you can without fail recover all. They are promised, if you'll go, you'll get it back. But they got determined. There has to be determination because they're met with obstacles. When they determine, God gives them some direction. But then God had to give them deliverance. Look at verse 17. It says, and David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. David's fighting. He did his part. And now God's going to do His. David fought from twilight to the evening of the next day. They're fighting for 24 to 36 hours. Here's what I'm getting at. It was a long battle to regain what they did. Why were they able to keep fighting? Here's what I would have done. Man, I'm just so tired. I can't keep going on. What motivated them to keep fighting? Because God promised them, if you'll pursue, I will without fail. You will without fail recover all. Everything that you've lost, I'll give it back to you. But you know what? It didn't negate David from having a battle to fight. Here's what we want. We want to have everything back that we've lost spiritually over the years with no battle. We want to come down to the altar. God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Restore everything I've lost. God wants to. But here's what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to fight through it because your flesh, you still have an enemy in the flesh. So many times we think, we'll come up, we ask God, God, help me. God, restore unto me this. Help me to get this back in my life. And because it doesn't come easily, we just quit. God will give you what you've lost, but you're going to have to fight through the battle to get it. And you've got an enemy in your flesh. Your flesh doesn't want you to get back your convictions as lost. No way. Your flesh doesn't want you to regain that fellowship with God that you've lost over the years. Your flesh don't want you to find joy in the Lord. David and his men, they're fighting because God promised that He'd give them victory. That He'd give them what they needed. That He'd give them the help they needed. Here's what I want to ask you tonight. You're never going to recover anything you've lost. Here's where it's going to start until you get a broken heart over it. David and these men, they are weeping. They are broken. Why? Because of what they've lost. You are never going to get it back. God wants you, everything you've lost, whether it be conviction, whatever it may be, you've lost spiritually over the years, God wants you to get it back. But here, it's going to start with you being broken over the fact you've lost it. And I don't sense that among God's people. God's people have let their convictions just slide. Things that before they'd never do, now they allow. Not even broken over it. Don't even care. Not interested in talking to God. Not interested in reading their Bible. Don't even care. The first step to getting it back is you're going to have to get broken over what you've lost. And the only way you're going to get broken over it, you're going to have to take some time and evaluate your life and just start thinking, where was I at 2 years ago? Where was I at 10 years ago? What's sad is, if we'd be honest, we've all allowed the enemy to take some things from us. We've all let our guard down because of past victories. We've let our guard down and we've been robbed of some things. We need to get broken over what we've lost. We need to determine that we're going to get it back, and there's going to be obstacles. You're going to have some obstacles to go through. But if you're not willing to go through it, you're not going to get it back. Here's all I want to ask you tonight. What would it take for you to determine to get back what you've lost? That's where it all starts. I mean, God will give you the direction. God will give you the... He'll give you everything you need that you can get it back. But there's one thing you're going to have to do on your part. You're going to have to determine that you want it. Here's all I'm... I've said all that to ask you this question tonight. What have you lost over the years? And do you want it back? If you want it back, you can get it. But it's going to start with you. It's going to start with you being broken over what you've lost and determining in your heart that I'm going to get it back. And if you'll do that, I got the same message God told David. Without fail, you can recover all. The joy that you've lost, God will help you get it back. That fellowship, God will help you get it back. Those standards that you've lowered, God will help you get them back. But it starts with you and your heart being determined to fight through it. That whatever obstacles come in the way, your love and desire for what's on the other side of that river, you can find your way through it. Let's stand tonight. Here's what I want to ask you. What have you lost? Maybe you look back over your life and you say, you know what, preacher, I've really not lost anything. I'm just where I've always been. That's great. I hope you can. But if you be honest, most of us have to say, I've allowed the enemy to take some things from my life. Do you want it back? God wants you to give it back. God wants to give it back to you. But you're going to have to determine your heart that I'm going to keep going until I get it. God spoke to your heart. You come pray tonight.